So knowing who the right people are, what sort of similar programs are in place, and being able to find those unique relationships or those unique connections that then lead to some further conversations, that's really important.
But government can create the conditions necessary for businesses to expand and hire more workers.
Welcome to Civic Thinker, the podcast for fearless doers, GovTech innovators, and social entrepreneurs striving to reshape our world.
I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Together, we'll unravel the mysteries, dismantle the barriers, and equip you with the tools to conquer the odds and achieve success.
The answer is clear. For the people to win, politics as usual must lose.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you.
Because it's so hard that if you don't, any rational person would give up.
Ask what you can do for your country.
How do you start in government? It's a question we're always being asked, like, how do I build those relationships? How do I get that feedback for my product or service? How do I get those referrals? Well, we've got a great guest today who's going to talk about five ways to interact with government, specifically your local government. But I think it works for state and federal as well. But yeah, she's the director of economic development here in the city of Fishers, Indiana. We're a suburb of 100,000 people. But that's not where she started. She got her master's in public affairs. She's been worked out in LA. She's worked at the state level. And now she's here at the city level, but killing it at her job. I think she's brought in hundreds of millions of dollars of commitments to the city. I think it's over $1 billion now. And, you know, so she's very good at her job at the director of economic development here. And she's got some great tips for us entrepreneurs wanting to leverage our local city or our leverage our community's assets. And I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. Why does a city or a state have economic development? What does the, I assume it's like a department in most.
Yeah.
Places.
Yep. In Indiana, it's the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. And it's really a state agency, or with Indiana, it's a semi-state agency where the organization is out promoting locations, promoting the state as a great place to do business. And so with at the local level, historically in Indiana, there's economic development efforts were led by the local economic development official, which is called a LEDO. And that would be at the county level. And they would represent an entire county. But in central Indiana in particular, as we've all grown as our own cities, we've needed more boots on the ground, more vision driven by our elected officials to help accomplish our economic development goals. And so the reason, or in the most basic sense of economic development, is about job creation, quality of life, and being able to achieve a quality of life within that state or within the municipality.
And I know you've got some five tips for entrepreneurs and people wanting to work with government. Before we get to that, what makes a good economic development department? Like, how do they judge whether someone's doing a good job economic development?
So there's really, there's basic data points that you can look at. So it'd be the number of jobs that you brought in over a year, of new job commitments, of retaining employees, the amount of private investment that's happening associated with the project. But then you can do a full economic analysis of the impact if it's a development project, the impact of the construction trades. Then it can look at sales tax. And so you can build out the data pieces of all of it. But what I think sets successful economic development apart is where there is a genuine interest and an alignment of the businesses that are within that community or are being attracted and coming to that community or state that are in alignment with the leadership there.
And, you know, we probably didn't mention this in the beginning, and we probably should. Like, Fishers is an excellent example of things going really well and doing things the right way. So that's why I'm so excited you're here, is because you've got this background. You've been a part of this success. And I think it would be good, too, for entrepreneurs and business owners to understand what is important to economic development?
Yeah. So again, I think those measurable data points are always important. So what is the long-term economic impact to a community? Are you providing jobs for your residents, either at the state level or at the local municipality level, that lead to an increased or higher level of quality of life within that community? And Andretti Autosports is a really, really great example of this. The Andretti family, which is a racing family, they're building their new global headquarters here in Fishers. And so Michael Andretti, who's the CEO of the company now, lives in Fishers and was really invested in trying to create a great place for his employees that he plans to bring, investors and clients and customers that they're going to be bringing into their site. So it was important for them to have a great place to showcase the business and the community to present itself well. But then they've also been super involved in helping us advocate for growth and attracting new companies as well.
If you're talking small business or entrepreneurs, you know, maybe they're not like these big companies coming in, and they might not move the needle on some of those KPIs that are most important to.
Well, it's the other side of the scale, though. It's about helping to support someone who wants to be their own business, whose potential impact, whether it's at a nationwide level or an international level, it's still really important. And so we've always tried to look at creative solutions to help support entrepreneurs.
I mean, I think my takeaway from this is just because you're not, one of the big $100 million, $10 million company or whatever, looking for a place to relocate, even the small business, if you can frame that story as, you know, helping the local community, could still interest the economic development department. Is that,
yeah,
not
absolutely,
to put words in your mouth, but.
And again, I think we've seen the potential impact and outcomes from entrepreneurs within our city. And so, again, thinking about maybe if there is a startup that has a really significant trajectory of growth over 3 or 4 years and doesn't quite hit it and it fizzles out, but then you think about the talent that they've brought in, the relationships that have been created either within the local government or within the local community, that still just continues to perpetuate this cycle again of entrepreneurship and knowing that you have a place where entrepreneurs can be supported and that you can go to your local government or your local economic development team for help in that way. And so sometimes that can be in financial ways. Sometimes it can be through creative real estate options like a co-working space, or it could just be, hey, help me share this news on social media and help amplify this really exciting thing that we have going on. So there's lots of different ways to engage for sure.
I love that. And you're kind of hinting, this is one of my questions I was going to ask, you're getting to it early. It's like the ways economic development can help you, you know, you don't have to do this all on your own. And especially if you can make that amplifying story, you know, you could get the leaders of the city, the economic development team and whatnot, assisting you. Could you dive into that a little bit more about like ways you've helped companies?
Yeah. Going back to Launch Fishers as our starting point. So we've seen this timeline or progression of entrepreneurs and how we support them here in Fishers. And so we try and be creative throughout that entire process and that entire timeline in different ways. So Launch Fishers, again, is our co-working space. We, through our downtown redevelopment projects, created master leases. So the city is essentially owns the lease or is a backstop on leases with these developers, which achieves two things. One, it helps developers on the real estate side achieve better financing terms because they have a highly rated credit tenant. But on the second side, that allows us to put entrepreneurs and scaling companies into more traditional real estate locations, but at better terms for them. So there's no personal guarantees. We can include provisions about early termination if they reach certain headcounts. There's the ability for us to be able to help subsidize rent. So there's a lot of ways that we've helped entrepreneurs at that scale as well.
That's a great lead in. So, all right. So you've been doing this for a number of years. You've probably talked to, hundreds of businesses.
Sure. Yeah.
Thousands,
yeah,
maybe?
I don't know. We just recently hit a pretty significant milestone that since I've been here and since our mayor has been mayor, we've had over 10,000 new job commitments within our city. So that was since 2015. And then we're close to $3 billion worth of private investment. So those are my KPIs that I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool to be able to talk about, but I don't have the number of businesses, but yeah, let's call it thousands. That sounds really good.
I bet it's probably close to thousands. You're out there talking to people all the time.
And, I try.
Getting those relationships going, making sure you're known, which is not true. I mean, of every place. So I don't want to make it sound like, you know, Megan's work here is the way everyone's going to encounter that in every city and every state that they're in. And they might not, but hopefully from listening to you, they can understand some of the arguments they can make when they go and talk to their, you know, their local economic development person.
Definitely.
And understanding your perspective will help them approach them and talk to them in the right way. All right, but you did some work for us, and you have 5 tips for entrepreneurs who want to work with, you know, the local government. Why don't we go through those and discuss some
of
those?
Definitely. The first one I have is just starting with building a relationship. And so, again, this is more on the squishy side of things and more on the business development side of things, but I think starting, having a basis of trust and, again, mutual desire for improving either a business or a relationship or an interest in the community, I think that goes a really long way. And again, being able to do that then opens these doors for additional networking and connections that we talked about a little bit later.
And that relationship could be anybody in government, right?
Like, absolutely.
It doesn't just have to be the economic development department.
No, right? Definitely not. And I think that scattered throughout most government organizations, there are so many people, whether it's at the top of the ladder with the mayor or the city council president, down through departments and office managers, there are a lot of people who have a wealth of knowledge and passion for a community that you can tap into, that you can get a lot of different perspectives and, again, relationships, so that as you start to refine your ideas or how you want to engage, you have that to be able to fall back on of, okay, I know this isn't just like your standard sales pitch of, here's my mail merge and my email delivery system, where it's, hi Megan, how are you doing? It's more personalized, and so you know where they're coming from.
Especially in, you know, if it's your local city, there's probably tons of in-person
absolutely
ways to connect.
Yeah.
The local events, you know, Memorial Day celebration.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's good too. I mean, back to the goal of being genuine, people, you can generally tell if somebody is supportive of what you're doing or what the community's vision is, and being able to start showing that way and help supporting, and again, using your platform and your connections to help support the community, that always helps then when an ask comes in the door too.
Yeah. Just the thought that came to my head too was like, even if you, like, say you're creating a tool that helps, I don't know, let's say the Parks Department, and this is a tool that's going to make their life super easy or help them do a better job at the Parks Department. You don't even have to go straight to the Parks Department. You know, you can create a relationship with your local city council member or, you know, some of these other folks who can then introduce you.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep. And that's a great point. I mean, that kind of leads into the second of my suggestions is doing your homework. So knowing who the right people are, what sort of similar programs are in place, and being able to find those unique relationships or those unique connections that then lead to some further conversations. That's really important. So using your parks example, you know, if there's a technology that's about booking our fitness rooms at our new community center that's being built, being able to talk to somebody, our IT team. And so being able to start that way and just doing it more so from the perspective of, hey, I'm interested in this space. I want to learn a little bit about what your thought process is and how you're approaching it. That helps a lot because a lot of government entities, we get bombarded with, again, these general and very generic requests to connect and can I have 15 minutes of your time? Doing that individual outreach and sitting down with somebody, if you can face-to-face, to learn a little bit more about a project, again, that genuine interest and curiosity will come through and make that discussion further on, I think, much more significant and meaningful.
I like how you mentioned curiosity, because I think this is a mistake a lot of entrepreneurs make, is they, you know, they've done all of their Google research and, you know, they think they know exactly how it works. And then they go into these meetings and these conversations almost dictating as opposed to listening.
Right. Yeah. And I think the other thing too, is there was a recent example of, I got an email and it was a connection through Launch Fishers. And it was, I hadn't met this individual before, which is fine. Again, the connection is coming through someone that I know and have a good relationship with. But it was immediately a sales pitch for one of our departments that I don't oversee. But it was, again, using me as the entry point, which is a huge part of what my job is. And I love getting to do that. But with what they were pitching, it was kind of redundant to what we currently had in place, and they hadn't looked at that at all. And so when I started asking questions about, well, you know, have you looked at this software? How does that compare? To your point, it immediately went to a dictating of like, well, no, this is wrong. When, you know, 5 minutes ago, you didn't even know that it existed. So I think, like, again, a genuine interest, and again, starting with building those relationships, doing the homework of what's in place, who this is important to, those are really important, and they might just sound simple and easy and straightforward things, but again, make such a big difference.
And not, I mean, I love this point too, because I think the other thing I've seen, just like rookie mistakes, is assuming, you know, you've seen a problem in one place, let's say a bigger city, and assuming that a small city has the same problem or, you know, the same kind of concerns.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, local governments and state governments are generally going to be organized in very similar ways. And so, you know, I spend my day talking about why we're special and unique, and that's what everybody else gets to do at the community level as well. But saying my favorite is when I get an email of, well, you're neighboring city to the east and the north, we're talking to them and this is what they've provided, and don't you want to be at that same level? It's like, oh no, I want to be unique. Like, and so that's, again, knowing who you're talking to and doing the homework of what's in place.
Really important.
It's so important. It's so important.
Really important. I just, this is such a great point. So yeah, let's,
yeah,
point number three.
One. Yeah. So again, this kind of hints back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, but about focusing on the partnership opportunities. So, and especially as an entrepreneur, I know, and I've spent a lot of time, and Matt knows this as well too, that you're looking for ways to start generating revenue, and so that you can continue to grow and scale your business, which is obviously super important. But where we've found a lot of success as well is in city governments, and governments in general don't have a ton of money that is disposable as well. And so there's usually an annual budget process. And so like maybe there's a flush general reserve fund that organization can tap into frequently, but most likely that can't happen. And so I think looking at opportunities to continue to scale up that relationship and focus on the partnerships is really helpful. So one example is we had a company that was creating the hardware for parking garage lights. And so it was about, here's the sensor and the trigger for if the space is available or not, and then about like tracking the number of spots that was available. And so there was a need within these parking garages. And so in exchange for them, so we paid for part of the contract for them to be able to do that. But then our garage became like their working and living laboratory as well. And they were able to point back to that as they did some of their outreach for additional clients and partners. And so I think unique ways that, again, you can use the space that you're in by continuing to build that trust of the success of that initiative and then scaling up again. Okay, if we start this in year one and it's a $30,000 relationship, but you're banking on by year three or four, that's a $50,000 to $100,000 relationship. Looking long term at all of those opportunities is really, really powerful. So, and that kind of, that goes back into, again, then the homework of, well, what's in place? What do some of your constraints look like? And understanding from that perspective. So like in my case, I would love to help everybody that we can.
Sure, right? unlimited budgets, right?
The financial resources, the process involved with all of that, those are all things that you just need to be aware of. But again, still could be really, really powerful as you're looking to show a successful track record, a successful engagement, a successful project. So there's lots of different ways to be able to achieve that.
I love that. These are such great points, especially for somebody getting started. Unfortunately, or fortunately, just the way it works, a lot of people won't buy from you unless they see that traction. Mm-hmm. They don't want to waste the taxpayers' dollars on something unproven. So this is, I think what you're suggesting is a great way for people to get that proof and leverage that. And then both people win, right? The city, the government wins because they got this great new technology and didn't have to pay a whole lot for it. And then the company wins because now they've got a reference, a case study,
right?
Example.
Yeah. And again, being able, I think the power of, so our mayor in particular, and Matt, you know him well, he spends a lot of time with our entrepreneurs as well. And so helping have someone in that position, be an advocate and support and be that reference of, yeah, I'll pick up the phone and call somebody. I think that makes such a difference as you continue to scale up, just of, yeah, this is somebody who's really well trusted. Here's this, the way that they were collaborate on what's important to the community in particular. So all of that, I think it's about thinking outside of the box of different ways to collaborate, but understand that the government box itself can be rather small sometimes, and to not get frustrated with that.
You know, the nice thing about working with government is if you can get an alignment with these folks and what they're trying to achieve, whether it's quality of life or new business or growth of small companies, or, you know, they'll help you out.
For sure.
You know, like you help them, they'll help you, kind of partnership can happen. I mean, I can't, just in my own previous examples is, you know, just helping out police departments and, you know, you work with them and the next thing you know, you go to a conference and a chief is out there just, you know, screaming at the top of his lungs how great you
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Yeah, and that, I mean, them being able to hear that from a peer as well, that's very powerful. So I completely agree with that. And that goes to really my next point then of knowing the value of the network. So thinking about it from our side of who are some of the other local governments and contacts that you might have? Who are some of the larger, if there's some sort of potential tie-in with a construction company, if you have something that's more security based and you want to partner with an IT company and there's local IT companies that you can connect with. I think knowing, this kind of goes back to the first or in the second one of like knowing who you're talking to and finding the additional people that you can get introduced to and knowing that that's not going to happen probably right away. I think in the Midwest, we're always like super open to being able to open our networks and make recommendations and provide warm introductions. If somebody feels like this is more of like a, hey, this is just a basic sales call, I think that it takes longer to get to the point where the network, when that individual's network becomes available to you.
And I mean, just an example I've seen from your department is like, you know, a business who is looking for a building. And sure enough, you guys know that this building just went vacant.
Yep.
And you're able to put them in touch with those two things. I mean, that's network right there.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, I do spend a lot of time both on the business side of things, but then also on the real estate side of this person I know has 10,000 square feet and they want to support an entrepreneur and have somebody come in. There's a lot of value on that side as well. So not even just from the revenue and the client side, but to your point of the support and the services that they might be able to put you in touch with that helps as you're starting to scale on the operation side.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think the other value of the network too is like understanding what's coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, knowing, again, what the priorities are, what sort of things are in the pipeline, overall vision, and being able to tie your product or service into that and showing how that can then help the momentum of that initiative. And there's that buy-in, there's the trust, and it doesn't feel transactional at any level for that way.
All right, your last tip.
Yeah, this is kind of goes back to the think outside the box, but know that the box is small. Don't get frustrated by the process. And so again, there's budget constraints, there's statutory requirements for bidding, there's going to be an annual budgeting process. And so knowing that the first time might be a no, or it might be I need to go back through my budget season with this, or like here's ways for us to continue to talk throughout the way or along that path. Don't be discouraged. And in some cases, we'll have to wait till budget season. If it is a cold call, then that my saying that, I don't have that in my budget this year might be a brush off. But there are a lot of times where, again, you can be creative about the phasing of it of, okay, well, in this year, does this smaller contract in a partnership this way work within your budget and lead to the desired outcomes for both sides? It can be longer, but I think that you're embedded then within your community and you have the respect and the trust of those either department leaders, elected officials of, okay, yeah, they're invested in this in the long haul. This is a long-term partnership for us. And knowing that there are things that we can and can't just immediately do. There's, if it's a contract size over a certain amount, you know, then you have to go through like an RFP process. So
yeah,
that's where some of the homework of, okay, what is that this particular organization's statutory requirements or general process? I think knowing that ahead of time can also help with relationship building and being creative about what sort of partnerships might be able to start or then the network that they could help you tap into.
I can imagine just in your position, dealing with a lot of people who are, you know, spend most of their careers in the private sector, mm-hmm. that you've probably dealt with a lot of frustrated,
yes.
frustrated folks.
For sure. And so even, you know, to that point though, of like upcoming projects, when we have a big city project, so whether it's like a new fire station being built, whether it's a community center being built, being able to have that connection and relationship with somebody ahead of time of like, hey, this bid is going to be going out through this contractor. Here's the process that we're looking at. They can help point you in the right direction so that you can get some of those more traditional engagements or contracts. But it can be a lengthy process. And again, depending on the municipality or the state, there could be requirements on XBE companies and the requirements related to that. So
what's an XBE?
So like a minority owned business, a woman owned business, veteran owned business, the whole like business enterprise, the X just stands for anything that is a specifically regulated type of business entity that could be required at either a local or a state or a federal level contract. Those sometimes can be in place too. So don't get discouraged by it. Again, the person that you're sitting across from most likely wasn't the person who made that requirement or procedure,
sure.
and is trying to do something pretty incredible and make an impact in their community. And so that's where, again, the trust and a good relationship, you know that you have somebody sitting across from you who understands that and is not going to take it personally or, you know, just bash whatever the process is.
And these are great tips, Megan.
Good.
Thank you so much for sharing those. Anything else you think entrepreneurs working with city government should know, or, you know, topics we didn't cover?
Government and economic development in particular is evolving, and it's so much involves so many different layers of community development and quality of place. And so even if you're not a civically minded entrepreneur, I think communities and local elected officials and state elected officials are looking for people who are passionate about where they live and where they work. and looking for people to continue to advocate and partner with them. So look for opportunities with boards or commissions or different sort of appointed positions if you want to start to get involved. Everybody is looking for, I hate to use the word normal, but not on extreme ends of any sort of policy issue that, again, can think about things pragmatically and think about it from the lens of what is best for the community. And that's really powerful and shouldn't be as hard to narrow in sometimes, but it certainly can be.
Oh, thank you so much, Megan. It's been really great having you on.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's been wonderful chatting with you.
Hey, and that wraps us up for today. I hope that you learned something from this episode and that you enjoyed listening to it. If you would, please go to the website civicthinker.com and enter your email address. That way you can be in the loop if we push out more content or maybe someday do a future event. Oh, and we'd love to hear your suggestions on topics as well. So drop us a line at podcast@civicthinker.com and let us know if there's any questions or areas you'd like us to explore further.